God is an awesome God, and when you think about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The beginning of what? The beginning of what? Eternity is something that we can't grasp. It's hard for us to grasp. It's something that is beyond our understanding because we're basically people of time. And it's very difficult to understand the concept of eternity. I'd like you to read Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come. That's God, who was, who is, and is to come. He is all places at all times. Nothing escapes him. Nothing gets away from God. Nothing happens that he does not know about. And this world has a very misconstrued idea of what God is really like. They kind of portray him as just a man. You know, they don't see him as he. Even Christians, even we who walk with the Lord, can't really understand the fullness of who he is and what his involvement in our lives is. It's hard for us to grasp that. God always was and he is to come. And so we have a hard time understanding that. Some of the definitions are infinite or unending time, without beginning or ends, or like a theological deal might say, endless life after death. Well, that's okay, but it only portrays after death. How about before death? How about what would happen prior to us? So it doesn't really cover it really good from that idea. Although we must realize that eternity will go on forever and forever and forever. And because we are creatures of time, we are born, we live, and eventually we die in time. It's hard to comprehend the God who always was. When God sent Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt, and Moses wanted to know who to say sent him, God said, I am that I am. I am. He's present tense everywhere, in every situation, in every frame of reference, in any place. I am. In this endless idea of eternity, you know, I was thinking about, at some point in time, you know, time began. But that doesn't, some point in time. You see, we relate to time because we're born in time. So I just put it this way. In this endless idea of eternity, God created the heavens and the earth and began what we call time. Man was created in the image and likeness of God and had fellowship with his creator and was placed in the garden with the only restriction to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only restriction man had. And that tree was put there for a purpose. You say, why did God have to have that there? You know, the garden was just real nice and mankind was right there and that was just really nice. No, but there had to be something to choose from, you see. And the only restriction was that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if they did, they would die. They would die. And I don't even know for sure whether they really understood the idea of what dying would be. Mankind was given a free will. Or I put it this way, the ability to choose His direction in life. And you know, one of the things that man has a tendency to want to do, you want to rule your own life. You want to be in charge. You don't want to have somebody telling you what to do. We like to do our own thing. Just like, I remember when I was growing up and I was away from the Lord and everything, and I, you know, and it upset me because every time I turned around, I wanted to go do this. It looked fun. I wanted to do it. And it was like God put a roadblock up there. And it was like, I don't know that I actually said it, but it was in my heart to say it. God, why don't you leave me alone so I can go and have fun? I don't know whether any of you have ever had that experience or not. But we have the ability to choose the direction that we're going to go in life. And God doesn't send people to hell. God doesn't send people. They choose to go there by their actions and by what they do. We're going to look a little bit at a picture of eternity a little bit, but I want to read two scriptures first. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the garden, there was a tree planted in the midst of the garden. It was called the tree of life. Then I want to turn to Revelation 22:14. It said, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. I want to demonstrate something this morning, this evening, if I can. I want you to pretend like this is the book of Genesis, and this was the beginning of the garden where God put man into the middle of the garden. And in the midst of that garden was a tree. And we're going to say, this is the tree of life. Out there beyond that was eternity. Out there beyond that is where God was. And I believe out there in that place is where God planned this whole thing. And it's like he didn't have a week or two to do it. I mean, he had all of eternity to plan what he wanted to do. You see, God is love. He doesn't just love. He is love. And he wanted to have somebody that he could share that love with that was like him and that he could demonstrate that love to. So that was the tree of life. Out there was eternity. Now over here on this side is the tree of life in the book of Revelation. This period in here is time. This is where God created the heavens and the earth. This is where we lived. This is where Adam and Eve came into being. This is where they had the flood, where only 8 people were saved out of the world. We come into Abraham, time of Abraham. We continue into, he brought about the beginning of the Hebrew nation, God's people, and then his people ended up going into Egypt, and Moses came along and delivered them out of Egypt to bring them to the promised land, and you get everything right on down, all the way down to where God came down on the earth in the form of a man and died on the cross for us, shed his blood for us so that he could redeem man because man was a sinner. And it goes on all the way to the end. And then you go out into eternity again. Now, God always was. So he was out there and he's out there. But we were created sometime in this period here between the trees. And what we do here is exceedingly important. It's kind of almost like going to school. Now let me explain a little bit more. God is love, and He's not willing that any should perish. When He created man, He wanted to have fellowship with man. He wanted to have communion with man. That's why He was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, so that He could have fellowship with somebody He could associate with. And so He's not willing that any should perish. He did not put man on the earth. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. But man determined that they didn't want to go God's way. And they ended up then, that's the alternative. You see, they had to have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that man could make their choice. He didn't create man and force him, okay, you are going to serve me. You are going to love me. No, He gave man the opportunity to love God and to serve God because we wanted to have fellowship with the Most High God. We wanted to have communion with Him. And that's why we were created. We weren't created just to have fun. We weren't created just to be here and do something. We don't know what we're doing. You look out there in our world today, and we got people that are wandering around. They don't even know what they're doing or where they're going. They're hopeless. There's no help for them. There's no hope at all. Our hope is found in God and in God alone. Hallelujah. So this is God's world. And what He wants us to do is to come alongside of Him and rule over the earth with Him. You see, He doesn't just come down and do stuff. No, He comes down, He uses us. This is so huge. He has a plan that He figured all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end. It was all planned out. He knew you. He knew me. And He had a plan for our lives. And everything was going to fit together in God's plan. It was going to accomplish what He wanted to accomplish and bring us to an eternal glory with Him. Hallelujah. So your very life belongs to God. He created you. He loved you. He has done everything for you. And He wants to have fellowship with you forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. And so He has a plan for your life. And we're going to see that plan here in a bit. That plan is going to take place. The devil out there is trying to disrupt it. The devil's trying to destroy it. The devil's trying to destroy this country that God made for a purpose. So He chose Abraham to begin a nation that He would favor to be a blessing to all the earth. Later He chose Moses to deliver Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. He delivered the law to Moses to show what God's requirements are. In our life here is like growing up under parental tutelage and going to school to prepare us for life. Our life here is a preparation for what God has out there for us. And what we do here is going to determine what's going to happen out there. If you're faithful to do what God's asking you to do here, He's going to reward you over there. And it's going to be the most wonderful, most blessed thing that you could ever imagine. We can't even imagine it. We can't even get it through our heads. The things that God has for us out there. So it's kind of like going to school. And we're learning. We're gaining information and knowledge and relationship with God. That's what He wants. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to walk with Him and do the things that He's called us to do in this world. We got teachers in our schools, used to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, history, and that kind of stuff, and how to live productive lives. Now we got a lot of teachers that are teaching our kids immorality, new sexual identity, promiscuity, and how to protest in life, how to complain. But the Bible says we're to live godly in this present world. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, the law couldn't save us, but the law showed us that we were all sinners, and sin could only be covered by the shedding of blood, and it offered a temporary reprieve until Christ came and gave the ultimate sacrifice and died on the cross for us. And since man was a sinner and he couldn't pay the price for forgiveness, and man sinned and man had to die for that sin, God had to send his only begotten Son into this world to become a man, to live the perfect life, to fulfill the law that he created perfectly, and took our sins upon him. He said he literally became sin. Our sin, all the sins from Adam and Eve, all the way down to us, and all the way down to the end of this age. He took all of those sins upon his body, literally became sin for us, and took our place and died on the cross and shed his blood so that we might have forgiveness of sins. So he had to come down and do that. God had to send his only begotten Son. Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He rose from the dead and offered eternal life to those who repented of their sin and received him into their hearts. Just as simple as that. Just as simple as that. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin was death. The wages of sin, the sin we committed was worthy of death because it was sinned against God Almighty. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the end, Israel rejected their Messiah. When Jesus came, they rejected him. Not everyone, but the nation in itself rejected him. So God instituted his church. And he basically left off dealing with Israel for a time until the end of this age, kind of. And what he did, he began his church or his body and welcomed everyone to become a part of it. Jew or Gentile, whatever. His purpose was to bring us all together in one in Christ, into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, by faith, I died with him on that cross. That was the old nature. The old man is put to death on the cross. So I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So this life that I'm living now is living by faith in the Son of God who's living in me and giving me the strength to do it. I can't live a Christian life without his power within me, without him being a part of, without me inviting him to come in and be a part of my life. That's what gives me the strength to go on. And I'm a sinner. But God came in. The Lord came into my heart. And He became to me holy. He became to me righteousness. He became to me all of those things because of what He did. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8-10. For as by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. God, I believe, has given every person enough faith to get saved. I believe He's given every person enough faith to get saved. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We got some religions out there that are doing all kinds of good things. Oh, they're helping the poor, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. But see, they're doing it because they think that by doing all those good deeds, that's earning them a place in heaven. And it isn't. I'm sorry. There's only one thing that gets you to heaven, and that's believing in the grace of God that He pours out as a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't do good works for it. It's something that you have to receive by faith. And He has given us His grace. Being saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. I can imagine some of those people out there and their religions and where they're doing all kinds of good deeds and everything. I remember one time we were in a place where we were in a apartment building, and they had a hot tub out there. And I remember sitting out there one time with Laura, and this guy came along, and he was, I believe he was Mormon. And you know what his good deeds were? His good deeds were to take care of his wife. His wife had some real problems and everything. And he was earning his salvation by what he was doing and helping his wife. That was his life. You aren't going to get to heaven by doing good deeds. You aren't going to get to heaven by doing good deeds. Lest anyone should boast. You know, somebody might say, well, I've done more good deeds than you are, so I'm going to get up in a higher place than you. God doesn't do that way. I'm sorry. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And yet, here's the strange thing. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship. He's building something in us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now that sounds like, doesn't sound right. What it is you, the works don't save you. But once you're saved, He's created good works for you to do. So that you can be a blessing to those around about you. So that you can touch people's lives. So we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, I go back to this plan that God started from the whole beginning and followed all the way through. A plan that He is doing and He's working on even now throughout the whole globe. And it interrelates with each one of us. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each one of you individually. He has a perfect and a plan for me. And all of these work together to accomplish His purpose. And it's a part of His whole complete plan for all of humanity. And it's going to end up out there into something that's going to be the most blessed thing that you could ever imagine. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, Jesus came down and he did the will of the Father, which was in heaven. He said, I don't say anything of my own self. I just tell you what the Father has told me to say. He demonstrated his life. He was the exact representation of the Father. He did exactly what the Father would do. And he showed us by his life and his actions, this is what the Father is like. We thought he was a hard taskmaster back there in the Old Testament, maybe. But he's really not like that. He's really not. Jesus came. Now, when he was going about doing what he was doing down here, he wasn't just doing his own thing. At one point he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why was he doing that? Because the Father was ahead of him and doing a work in a lady there that had been married several times, and the man she was living with now was not her husband. God was working in that person's life. And so what he was doing, he was bringing Jesus over to the well at Samaria so that he could deal with this woman, and ended up with a whole bunch of the town people believed in God as a result of that. He didn't just do that on himself. The Father did that. The Father was working ahead of him. And I'll tell you something. The Father is working ahead of you and I. And he has a plan and a purpose for us. He wants to touch someone over here. So he taps me on the back and he says, I need you to go over here. Or I need to have you call this person. Or you're going to run across this person in the store. Or whatever. And I need to have you share something with them. I remember one time we had a evangelist came over to our church up in Ketchikan. And he had a task for us to do. I've never seen anything like this before, but he said, I want you to pray. And he said, I want you to get together with somebody. And he said, I want you to pray. God wants to send you somewhere, and he wants you to do something. So I went together with this one guy, and I see a harbor with boats. And this other guy said, the guy I was with, he said, I see a person. He had a person. And so we were to go out and do whatever we could do. So I went down to this harbor. We walked out on the docks and everything. We went and we made this corner here, and there was a big fishing boat sitting there. There's a bunch of guys in there and everything. We kind of walked by it slowly and kind of looked it over and went on out kind of the end of the dock and turned around and came back. And as we were coming back, we looked. Somebody came from the lower part of the hull and came on up and sat down in the corner. Said, that's the guy. And so we walked over, and I told him, you know, we were supposed to come down here and give a word to somebody, and the guy is sitting right over there. He said, could we talk with you for a minute? And so the guy said, sure. He came over and I talked with him. And he said, we had a little message for you. The Lord directed us to come here, and we just wanted to pray with you. God has got something for you ahead of time where you're going, and he wants to touch your life. And we prayed with him, you know, and I mean, all these guys sitting around watching, you know, but it was interesting, you know. We prayed with them and we talked with them, shared what God wanted us to share with them, and that was it. And we went on. And there were some other people that had some real interesting experiences too. One couple went into a bar, you wouldn't think, and they went in there, and there was a gal sitting on a counter further on down. Said, that's where we need to go. And they went over to her and said, we're looking for Thelma. Do you know Thelma here? This gal, what's going on? She said, that isn't my name, but when I go to the bar, that's the name I use, Thelma. And they, I'm not sure whether they actually led that person to the Lord, but it was real close. God had a message for her. Anyway, it was just interesting the way it worked out. So God does that. God goes ahead of us. He's already working out there in somebody's life. And he wants to bring you or I alongside of that person to do what God is wanting to do. And it's absolutely amazing what God will do at times. It's just really amazing. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We just talked about being crucified with Christ. But here he wants you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. What does it mean there? It means that we are crucifying the old man. We're putting the old man down and we're the new man in Christ Jesus. And we are presenting that body, that new man, to God. A living sacrifice. Lord, I give myself. I'm on the altar. I'm yours. I'll do what you want me to do. And I love you for it. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we're born into this world. We grew up in this world. We see the way this world moves. We see we understand this world because we were born in it. But that isn't what God's like. And what God wants us to do is to be transformed in His image, not the image of the world. And do not be conformed to this world or be like this world or be pressed into its molds. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that comes from the Word of God, and that comes from learning the God of the Word, having the God of the Word within us. We learn, we grow in knowledge of the Lord and Savior. We become more like Him. And the old man is fallen away. Tramp on it. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind because we got this mind of the state of the world in us. And we got to get rid of that. And the only way you get rid of it is in the Word of God and in the preaching of the Word and then in what, and learning about God and getting Him inside of us so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does that mean we're going to do everything perfectly? No. But God has forgiveness. All we have to do is ask God, Lord, I've failed here. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me in your blood. You know, and you move on. You don't stay there. If you're down, you don't stay there. You get back up when you start moving again. You start walking with God again. You don't give up. You don't quit. I'd like to see what Timothy, what Paul was saying to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Already being poured. My life is being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. When you think about Paul, who used to be Saul, he condemned Christians all over the place. He condemned them to death. He condemned them to prison. He condemned them, you know. And God had mercy on him because God had a plan and a purpose for him. And at one point, he said, you're going to have to see how much suffering he's going to have. He's going to have suffering as a result of what he did. But he's going to be my servant to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So he said, I've already been poured out as a drink offering. His life was not an easy life. And I'll tell you something, the Christian life is not an easy life. Because we're going against Satan, we're going against the world, we're going against a whole lot of stuff. We're going against our fleshly nature. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. So you think about the good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. I finished that. I completed that. When I think about Jesus, he finished the work that the Father gave him to do. Paul the Apostle finished the race and the work that God gave him to do. And it was time to move him on. King David, when he finished the work that God gave him to do, he went to be with his fathers. Went to the grave like his fathers. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Hallelujah. That righteous judge, he will give us in that day, he'll give us the crown of righteousness for all those who love his appearing. I hope everyone's loving his appearing. I hope you're not just walking through this life and, well, he's going to come one of these days, you know, do your own thing. No, you need to love his appearing. You need to love his appearing. I want to tell you a little story. I'm going to digress here a little bit. Years ago, when I was in Ketchikan, Alaska, I got to preach at some different churches sometimes, and I went out on a logging trip, logging camps, went to logging camps and preached at logging camps. And I remember one Sunday morning, Laura and I were out at Thorn Bay logging camp. It was on Prince of Wales Island, just out from Ketchikan. And, there had been a young logger who got saved, him and his wife and family. And a really, really neat brother. And, I mean, he got on fire for God. He got on fire for God. And we got done the service there, and we went down to the dock where an airplane was. And another airplane came in, and there he was. He got off, came over, and gave me a big hug. And he said, wait, oh, I'm just so excited. Man, I just know God has called me into the ministry. I'm going to save souls. I'm going to get out there and work for God. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do all this stuff and everything. And I was just rejoicing with him. So anyway, I got to fly back to Ketchikan. And I think it was a day or two later that our pastor's wife gave me a call. And her husband was on up north somewhere doing ministry at another city up north. And so it was just me there and the pastor's wife. And she said, what's his name's wife is here. She said, her husband got killed in a logging accident yesterday. And you need to come in and talk with her. She wants to talk with you. And you know, the Lord laid on my heart right there. Said, I want to go out and do a memorial service out at Thorn Bay for him. I want to do that. I wanted to do that. And so I got there and I met his wife. And she said, Wayne, she said, I would really like if you would come out to Thorn Bay and do a memorial service for my husband And I said, God's already spoke to me. I'd like to do that. So we set it up, and I went out there, and we had a memorial service. And these old loggers, praise God, you know, old rugged loggers. I got along real good with them. I didn't have any troubles getting along with those guys. And we did a memorial service. And several of those people, they told me what happened. They have what they call a landing. And this is where they have the logs that are dragged in by cable. They come in, they're dragged in by cable. They drop them off there. And then they're loaded on trucks and hauled on the roads then to where they're down to the harbor, then to make the rafts and take them wherever. And so these guys were having lunch on this landing. And this brother, he said, he was talking with these guys. He said, you guys, he said, I just love you guys. He said, I'd be willing to lay my life down for you. And while they were sitting there eating lunch, there was a log that came in, and it hung up on a stump or something and swung around in a circle. It was going to hit those guys. And this brother went and shoved them down, and he took the brunt of that log, and it killed them. It had been raining, and they said the sky opened up a little bit, and the sun shone down on the ground, right on top of him. And he had been telling them he'd be willing to give his life for them, and he did. He gave his life for them. And you say, well, what happened to his ministry? That was his ministry. God called him to be a preacher, and his very life was given to save these guys' lives. And so when we did the memorial service, some of those guys gave their hearts to the Lord. So we had some ministry there. And who knows what those guys, you know, who would ever thought, whoever got Billy Graham saved, who'd ever thought that, oh, big deal, what did I do? We got one person saved. But look what Billy Graham did. So who knows what all happened, you know. But there were some loggers, those rugged, bulky old loggers, you know. Some of them guys got saved as a result of that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to preserve us blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why? We're hid away in Christ. We're not ourselves. The old man, the old nature's dead, buried. And he's going to make us blameless. He is working in our lives even today. He's going to be working right to the end of our lives. He's going to be working in our lives to accomplish his purpose and to make him more like Jesus. And he who calls you as faithful will also do it. He will do it. He's committed to us. He's committed to making us more like Jesus. He's committed to making us just like the Son of God, that he can have an impact on this world. And when I think about that, I think about the nation of Israel. What happened to the nation of Israel? Well, the nation of Israel, they decided, well, all these other nations got kings. Well, we want a king over us. And then pretty soon, well, they're worshiping gods that they can see. We're worshiping an invisible God. So they wanted to have some gods that they could see, not realizing that those same gods that they couldn't see, they could see with their eyes, but the idols, they have eyes, but they can't see, ears, but they can't hear, feet, but they can't walk. You know, they're useless. They're a piece of garbage when it comes to God. The invisible God, he's the mighty God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. So God's given us a will to choose the direction in life. To choose the direction in life. Adam and Eve chose to believe what the enemy said, what Satan said, what the serpent said, over what God said. And they ate from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat. And spiritually, they died right there. They lost their ability to communicate and have fellowship with Almighty God. So we have the will to choose the direction in life. And we're going to go out into eternity. And there's two gates there. We will go through one gate or the other gate into eternity. One gate or the other gate into eternity. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So you see, we get to choose. We can choose. We can choose to find that narrow way. It's narrow, it's restrictive, it's hard. The world isn't going to like us if we go through it. The world will be against us. It could be some of our flesh and blood will be against us. I remember a Sabra Jew that got saved and his whole family divorced themselves from him and wouldn't talk to him. So that's his salvation caused him the loss of his whole family for many years. For many years. So it can be costly to go through that narrow gate. But wow. What's ahead in that narrow gate is absolutely amazing. And then there's the wide road. It's the easy way. It's you just follow along with the crowd. You can both go into the ditch. You know, there's no hope. There's no help. There's no, there's many that go into that and it leads to destruction. So they're the ones who prepared. Oh, the narrow gate is the ones that have gone there, their lives go into eternity and live with him forever. The wide gate is for those who refuse to believe the truth to be saved. They wanted to rule over their own lives. They wanted to be in charge of their own lives. They knew best. They believed the devil's lies, and they did not have a love for the truth. And the result will be the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. You see, you got the choice. You got two gates. We're all going to go through there. And we're all being prepared for going through to eternity out there. You can either be prepared to walk with God, or you can be prepared to walk with the rest of the world and fall off the deep end into a place where you do not want to be. Where you do not want to be. Revelation 22, verses 11 to 13. "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still." You see, if you're unjust now and the Lord comes, you're going to be unjust over there. And you'll end up where that kind of person lives. "He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still." Different place. Different place. And it happens just like the guy, the logger. He was sitting there. He didn't know. He thought he was going to have a world. You know, he thought he was going to be out preaching the gospel. And he was, that's where his heart was. And that was fine with God. It would be just like he accomplished it as far as God was concerned, because that's where his heart was. And he didn't know he was going to die there. He didn't know. But he was ready to meet the Lord. And he went with the right attitude. And he said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Hallelujah. He's the one that's forever and ever, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So at the end of this age, mankind will go into eternity in one of two places. Whatever you are when the Lord comes will determine your destination. So you can't say that God sent you to hell. If you go there, it's because you chose that way instead of the way that God had for you. Eternity, where will you spend eternity? And what will you do with Jesus? What will you do to Jesus? We point to eternity future. What will you do with Jesus? I got this from the Lord. "Watch and pray, for you know not the day or the hour that the Son of Man comes. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am he which is, which was, and which is to come. Hold fast the profession of your faith until the end, for my reward is with me. I am with you forever until the end of the age, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am God, and there is no other. I never fail, so hold fast your faith until the end. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Redeem the time, for the time is at hand. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. My presence goes before you, and I will accomplish that which I please. So put your trust in me, and lean not unto your own understanding. I have given you all that you have need of to do the job that I have called you to do. So rise up and give the glory unto me. I never fail. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, and let him take the water of life freely." Father, we look to you this night. I thank you for the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood that covers our lives. I thank you that we have the opportunity, Lord, to give ourselves completely to you. I thank you that we have that opportunity, Lord, to be with you forever and ever, Lord, in a place, Lord, that'll be so tremendous. God, I just thank you for that. I give you praise. Hallelujah. And I pray that there'll be not one person here who will miss that narrow gate. God, that they will all, that we will walk with you forever, that we will be a blessing to you, that you will bless us, Lord, and that you will have your, accomplish your purposes, Lord, in our lives. We just love you tonight. We praise you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, have your way. We commit our ways into your hands right now. In Jesus' name, amen.